Okay, everybody, welcome to our special Sefirot HaOmer series at the Ohel Sarah Amen group. And I say that on purpose. We are in Sefirot HaOmer, but learning about Sefirot HaOmer. We are learning the Ilui Nishmas and the Zecher Nishmas Sari Yuta Allah HaShalom. Bas Ephraim Menachem Mendel, Bedina Martin, Sheyichu. Also is a schuss for Chai Rezel Bastina, the Soch Sha'ar Cholei Yisrael, who is in need of our continued tefillos. So we are learning today about Netzach. So yes, this was very nice for me, and I appreciate that Rabbi Tzvi Fuchs asked me if I could do the shiur on Netzach, because I'll be honest with you, the Sefirot HaOmer are something that I have personally never delved into, never learned about myself, so this was not a topic that I was coming and standing up here and teaching you about, and I knew a lot about it. I knew when Rabbi Tzvi Fuchs first approached me, he said, I don't know, it's Kabbalah, I don't think this is for me, but we learn on the level that we can attain. Okay, so we're not going to be opening up the Zohar. That's not for us. I'm going to make a generalization. It's not appropriate. But how can we apply these Sefirot HaOmer into our lives? What does it mean for me on my level? What? Which is what we're going to be talking about. So the Sefirot that we are speaking about today is Netzach. It's very hard, and I say this many times in my classes, to translate words out of Lashon HaKodesh, okay? They're not meant to be translated out of Lashon HaKodesh. Pasha. How can we translate Netzach to give us an idea? You can't grasp onto one word because it's Lashon HaKodesh, and it's not supposed to be English. But it loosely means eternity, victory, or endurance. Netzach is eternity, victory, endurance. So let's begin with the psukim that command us to count Sefirot HaOmer, and they are in last week's parasha, parashas Emor. It is in Avayikra, Perachof Gema, and the psukim tell us, Pasuk Tes Vav through Tes Zayin, very famous, Usefartem Lachem, Sfartem Sefirot, okay? Usefartem Lachem Mimacharas HaShabbos, you shall count for yourself from the day after Pesach. It does not mean from the day after Shabbos. It means from the day after, in Chutzar, it's what we call the first day of Pesach, Miyam HaVi'ochem Esa Ofer HaTenufa, from the day you bring the Omer of waving, the day after Pesach, 16th of Nisan, you brought a special Korban Omer, it was a barley offering, Shava Shabbosos Tamimos Tehiana. You must count 7 complete weeks, Armi Macharas HaShabbos HaShvi'is, until after the Sabbath, the 50th day, i.e. we count 49 days, the 50th day, of course, is Zman Maton Torasenu, Tisbru Chamishim Yam, Nishakam 50 days, and what happens at the end of 50 days, V'hikrafta Mincha Chadasha LaHashem. Before you start counting, at the beginning of the count, you bring the Omer offering, which is a barley offering. When you end the count, you bring a Mincha Chadasha, Shtei Halachem, wheat offering to Hashem. These psukim are the command. It is a mitzvah to oraisa to count 7 weeks from the time the Omer offering is brought. Sefirot HaOmer is the counting of Omer. We're actually counting from how many days ago we brought the Omer Korban. I was actually listening to an interesting shir online last night. Rav Shai Shechter brought a source. I don't remember the source he brought. Why do you make a Shechianu when you count Sefirot HaOmer? Every mitzvah we don't do for a year, you make a Shechianu. Why not Shechianu? Fascinating. Psha. Because Sefirot HaOmer reminds us of Korban. Sefirot HaOmer. We're counting according to the Omer. We don't have Omer anymore. There's no barley offering on the morrow of the Pesach. Sefirot HaOmer actually reminds us of the state of destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Shechianu is made when we're happy about a mitzvah, and this is a mitzvah d'oraisa, but it's tinged with sadness. We continue to count, even though we don't have the Omer, but the mitzvah d'oraisa is contingent upon the barley offering brought in the Beis HaMikdash on the morrow after Pesach. We don't have it anymore. So we're not totally happy when we count, which, by the way, gives us some added insight into the sort of period of mourning or the restrictions during Sefirah. It reminds us of Churban Beis HaMikdash. However, it's still applicable today. Many women have taken it upon themselves to count Sefirot HaOmer, even though it is a mitzvah. Asish Hazman Graman, the Mishnah Berurah, writes, so interesting, Chavetz Chaim writes, in his day, women did not count Sefirot HaOmer. They didn't even know what it meant. Hayom, yom, echad l'omer. Also, I heard this told over in the Shir of Shechter. Women didn't even know what it meant. Hayom, yom, echad l'omer. Today is not echad. Today is Lamedalet. Today we're in the 34th day of Omer. They didn't count. Today we count. But the concept of the mitzvah itself is fascinating. You're commanded to count time. This is a fascinating concept. The count itself is the mitzvah. So what is so unique or important about Judaism that we count time. By the way, this week's parashah is Bahar. We don't only count Omer. We count 7 years to Shemitah. We count 7 times 7 to Yovel. A woman counts Zion Nikim. There's a lot of counting going on. Rav Soloveitchik teaches to modern man, and he does not mean the Jew. He means the Umos Olam. A day is not a living entity. We don't associate the term day with substance or content. It's not a subject to which we can apply attributes or traits to the scientist. Time is a mathematical concept. Modern physics has combined time with space. Just as space is empty, to modern man, time is empty. It is merely one coordinate on a system upon which we model the universe. He is not talking about the Alok of Yehadus. Clearly, this is not our Alok because so much of our life revolves around counting. We count the days of the week till we get to Shabbos. We count days of Omer till Shavuos. We count the Zayin Nikim till we get to the Tahar of Mikvah. You count this week's parsha 7 years till you get to Shemitah, till you get to Yovel. In contrast to Judaism, quote, time is a living entity. There is a substance, an essence to time. It is not a void. Time is reality. One can say that time is joyous or sad, just like a person can be joyous or sad. The day itself can be evil. The Gemara speaks about the, you shouldn't do a business deal in Av. Why? Because the time is alive. You can refer to a day as evil. The day itself is cursed. This is Tisha B'Av. When we refer to a holy day, we don't merely signify it's a day that we can experience holiness. Rather, the day itself is holy. Do you understand the difference? This is a day like any other day upon which I can experience holiness. That's not correct. The day is holy, and I can draw the Kedusha from the day. So the Kedusha doesn't emanate from myself on Yom Kippurim, let's say, also last week's parasha. The Kedusha emanates from Yom Kippurim, and I can draw out from that the Kedusha's Hazman. Furthermore, he says, the day itself has an inner endowment, a charisma, hidden in its very substance. And this is going to be an important statement, and we're going to apply to the Sfiros HaOmer. The day itself has an inner endowment, a charisma hidden within the substance of the day. It somehow has become a metaphysical entity. So a day in Yehadus is alive. And if we understand that we have mitzvos to count so many things, a day is like a person, says the Rav. It can be happy, it can be sad. A day is kadosh, a day is cursed. We're counting through time. The day has inner endowment. There is charisma within its very substance. And that's Sfiros HaOmer. And that is the Sfiros HaOmer, which we're going to get to explaining soon. Qualitative time consciousness. That means to be conscious of the quality of time. Qualitative time consciousness. I remember when I was much younger, and sometimes I would read things, not much, much younger, but younger, and I would read things over Salvation, I would read the same paragraph 3 times, and I had no idea what he was talking about. Qualitative time consciousness. Be conscious of the quality of your time is the appreciation of the enormous implications in the fleeting moments of the present. Be conscious of the quality of the fleeting moments with the enormous implications in every moment of time. No fraction of time should ever slip through the fingers, should be left unexploited. A fraction of time should not be left unexploited, for eternity may depend on this brief moment. And in order to talk about Sfiros HaOmer, and particularly Netzach, which we have translated as eternity, victory, or endurance, we must appreciate the endurance within each day, the victory that comes after each day, and the eternity of every moment. You have to look at time as Nitzrios. And time, of course, is completely embedded with the mitzvah of Sfiros HaOmer. And he says the count of Omer represents our freedom. Why does the count of Omer represent freedom? A slave could count from today till tomorrow, but time has absolutely no meaning to the slave, because who owns the slave's time? The master. A slave who is capable of appreciating each day, of grasping the meaning and worth of time, of weaving every thread of time into a glorious fabric, is eligible for Torah. He has achieved freedom. Another thing we understand through the Sfirat HaOmer, or Sfiros HaOmer, and Sfiros HaOmer, is that every day has a unique quality, The day is alive. It's not that I make the day kadosh. The day has kedusha, and I can take the power from that day. And I have to appreciate eternity may depend on the brief moment. Eternity is netzach. The nitzchius of my neshama, the nitzchius of my very self, the nitzchius of Knesset Yisrael depends on this journey through time, if you will. And therefore, within this count of Omer lies great secrets of Torah, dveikus b'Hashem, avodas Hashem, and ways to access higher kochos that lie within the world and that lie within ourselves. And therefore, Sfiras HaOmer is the counting of Omer. We have explained that the Omer is the barley offering. We said we don't make a Shehecheyanu because there's an element of sadness, reminds us of Chorban. And Sfiras HaOmer are the Sfiros HaOmer. So what are these Sfiros? They are emanations, or 10 attributes brought down by Kabbalah. By the way, yesterday, of course, is Lag BaOmer, the Yirtzeh of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and the sages tell us that the Zohar was composed in those 12 years. The Gemara speaks about it. It actually ended up being 13 years that he and his son hid in the cave, hiding from the Romans. They spent their whole time learning Torah, and the sages tell us it was during these 13 years that they composed the Zohar, which is the hidden secrets of Kabbalah, of Torah, on the day of his Yurtzeit. He passed that on to his Talmidim, which is why we celebrate on his Yurtzeit. So these 10 emanations, or these 10 attributes brought down by Kabbalah, are the way in which the Ein Sof, who is without end, capital W, capital E, the Ein Sof refers to Ribono Shel Olam, the way the Ein Sof reveals his will, and the Ratzon Hashem. So the 10 Sviros are 10 emanations, if you will, or attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, brought down in Kabbalah, through which he reveals his will, the Ratzon Hashem, and through which he continuously creates, HaKadosh Baruch Hu here, in the physical and spiritual realm. So there's one God, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and this one, Ribono Shel Olam, has manifestations, or emanations, if you will, through which he creates and recreates. Bereishis bara Elokim, es ha-shamayim ves ha-aretz. In the beginning of time, and throughout all time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to create and to recreate. And it is these spheros, or emanations from himself, so to speak, that cause this continuous creation. Furthermore, the spheros are understood as illuminations of God's infinite light. Okay, so they're emanations of Ratzon Hashem, and they are illuminations of the light of the Ribono Shel Olam. And in fact, what's the first thing the Ribono Shel Olam created, if you look by Ma'isa Bereishis? Light. Now, this isn't the light that comes from the Ma'oros HaRakia. Okay, he created the Ma'ar HaKadol, the Mishalas HaYam, Ma'ar HaKatan, the Mishalas HaLaila. This is not that light. The original light of creation, the first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, after the Tohu V'Vohu, V'choshech al Panei Tohom, in Pasuk Beis of the Torah, V'yomer Elokim Yihi Ar, V'yihi Ar, V'yar Elokim Es Ar Kitov. The first light is the illumination of the Ribono Shel Olam in the world. So really, Hashem's light is the foundation of all, and these spheros are understood as the illumination of God's infinite light as it manifests in creation. And where do we see that in the Torah? We just quoted from the beginning of Bereishis. The first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu created is the illumination of his light in the world. When it says that there was light, we're not talking about the sun that Baruch Hashem is shining today. That is the Ma'ar HaGadol and Mishalas HaYam. We're not up to there yet. It is some manifestation of the light of God in our life. 1 minute without these emanations, 1 minute without these spheros, 1 minute without these illuminations, and we would be lost. We would cease to exist. So the first thing we have to understand, questions or comments? You with me?
Is that the Or HaGanus? The special what? Light that he put away, the Or HaGanus?
Right, so this special light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, Chazal say, he hid it away for the tzaddikim la'asid lado. But there is some measure of the light of the Ribono Shel Olam through our whole world, or we would cease to be. Without that light, we go back to Tohu V'Vohu. We go back to Tohu V'Vohu, Rav Soloveitchik explains, that's Hester Panim. Hester Panim is the opposite of the light of the Ribono Shel Olam. And when Hester Panim happens, Rachman Atzlan Lo'Aleinu, anything can happen. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes his light, Pasuk Gimel, we go back to Pasuk Beis. What's Pasuk Beis? Choshech al Panei Tohom, Tohu V'Vohu, V'choshech al Panei Tohom. We go back to that, Rachman Atzlan, anything can happen. That's Parshas B'chukosai, this week's Parsha. So there is still some, there must be some measure of the Ribono Shel Olam's illumination through these emanations or spheros in order to uphold our root. Rav Shimshon Pinkas says, let's look at the words that we say in Modim. Ach,
I just asked you to translate some of the terms in case.
Of which terms?
Like Hester Panim, like you know when you use
Hester
Panim literally means, Rabbi Tzvi Fuchs mentioned Shavuos. If you come on Shavuos, you will get to hear a 15-minute shiur on Hester Panim. Hester Panim is a very deep concept, but it means that Hashem hides his face.
In general, if you can translate some of the terms.
Executive translation of Hebrew words for those who need it.
I'm not sure, but I'm not sure what you want me to translate, but in Pasuk Aleph, we're told, Bereishis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim ve-es-ha-aretz. In the beginning, Elokim created the heavens and the earth. We are introduced to Maisa Bereishis, the order of creation. The second Pasuk tells us that what was there in the beginning before God's light? Ruach Elokim merachafas al panei mayim, the spirit of God hovering over the surface of the water. But it was primordial chaos. Tohu v'vohu, emptiness and nothingness, v'choshech al panei tohum. There was a very deep darkness. The world was submerged in a terrible darkness of chaos, tohu vavohu's primordial darkness, confusion, void. Vayomer Elokim yihi or, Elokim said, let there be light. Again, what are we understanding through Kabbalah? And not that I opened up the Zohar, but I went to some other sources. And what does it mean? Yihi or, the illumination of the Ribono Shel Olam holds the tohu vavohu, the emptiness and nothingness at bay. If God removes the light, Chalila v'chas, and we're not talking about the sun, we're talking about his illumination, you go back to verse 2, which is chaos, emptiness, confusion, void. You go back to verse 2, you're left with this tohu v'vohu, which leads to Hester Panim, which is God hides his face, which leads us to Parshas B'chukosai and the terrible chaos. It's clear? No?
No, just that they're not everybody is familiar with all the terms. That's what I'm just
right, saying. So did I explain it well this time, I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, very good.
Just basically when you're speaking, just to translate the Hebrew as you're speaking.
Okay,
so
the very good.
Of the thought
now I'm going to make a bracha. 1 second. Thank you. Ooh, it was open. I didn't know.
Yeah,
I
have the tree.
I'm sorry. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehi Abedvaro.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Okay. Rav Shimshon Pinkas writes, Zatzal, let's take the words Al Chayenu HaMisurim Biyadecha, our lives that are given over into your hand. You say that in Modim. What does this mean? That our lives are given over into the hands of God. Imagine a person goes on a hike and he stops atop a 1,000 foot high cliff and suddenly he loses his footing and the man starts to slip and the cliff is very high. He's already suspended, says Rav Pinkas, between the cliff, between earth and between the ground. He's falling, he's in air. And someone reaches out and pulls him up. If at any point he lets go of his rescuer, even for a fraction of a second, he's going to fall. And if he falls, he's finished. It's all over. This is what it means. Al chayenu ha-misurim bi-adacha. Our life, which is given over into your hands, God. Literally, our life is given over into the hands of Hashem at every moment, at each moment, at all times. I'll tell you, my two morning classes, I was home for a very short period, and then I came here. And when I walked into my house after the first two morning classes, I said, Baruch Hashem, I made it home safely. I didn't have such a far commute. I was in Lawrence, I was in Far Rockaway, and then I came home. But at every moment in time, it is the illumination and emanation of the Ribono Shel Olam, this R, that holds us up. So the original reference to the Sfiros, Omer Sfiros, not as related to Omer, but to the Sfiros, these emanations are actually brought down in Sefer HaYetzirah, the book of formation, which was given over to us by Avraham Avinu. However, the further development of the concepts of the Sfiros, as we mentioned, came to us from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai composed the Zohar, we said, in the cave, during his years in the cave. And this is the Kabbalistic interpretation of counting Sfiros Omer. So let's just get it straight. Why, if anyone asks you why you count Sfiros Omer, you don't count Sfiros Omer because Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim died. You don't count Sfiros Omer because you want to get to Lag B'Omer and have a concert. You don't count Sefirah for any reason other than it's a mitzvah de'oraisa. Now today, there's some difference of opinion. We don't have Omer anymore. Right? We said we don't have the barley offering. De'oraisa, de'rabbanan, women take it upon themselves. But pashut, the mitzvah is because Hashem says to count the mitzvah. But once we have the mitzvah, sometimes we can give ta'amei ha-mitzvos. Kabbalah gives their Kabbalistic interpretation into the hashkafa, or the deeper meaning of the mitzvah. But don't become confused. You pasha count, because the Torah says, we quoted it already from Parshas Emor, Usfartem lacha mimachar sa Shabbos miyom ha-viyochem es omer tnufa. Just count, because God said to count. I'll tell you a cute joke. I usually tell jokes, but I liked it. I told it over in a class this morning already. I was listening to Shira last night, Shira Sa'amr, so I heard Rav Shai Schechter tell this joke over. It's mamish, really, I think it's a joke. Rav Meir Shapiro of Lublin was coming from Europe, founder of the Daf Yomi, Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, Gaon in Torah, and he was coming to America to collect money. And he was going to an assimilated Jew. So the assimilated Jew thought, what am I going to talk to the Gaon in Torah? Rav Meir Shapiro of Lublin is coming. What am I going to talk to him about? I have nothing to say. He wants to show him how machmir his family is, how careful they are with counting Sefirah Sa'omer. So he welcomes the Gaon, and he says, when we count Sefirah Sa'omer, we take it upon ourselves to eat milchak. We eat dairy every night because we're getting ready for Shavuos. There's a custom to eat dairy. So on the third night, we prepare 3 foods with dairy. On the 20th night, 20 foods. 35th night, 35 foods with dairy. God. So Rav Shapiro doesn't know what to say. Very nice. So he wants to say something. So he says, what happens if you miss a night? So the man says, we continue to eat the next night without making a bracha. It's just a joke. I can't imagine it's a true story, but maybe it is. Maybe it is. You never know. The Kabbalistic interpretation of counting Sefirah Sa'omer is different. And that is that during Sefirah Sa'omer, we can tap into the kochos of Sefirah Sa'omer. So remember we said the day itself has Kedusha? So on a certain day of Sefirah, we can tap into a certain koach of Sefiros. The Sefiros of who? The emanations, if you will, the midos, if you will, the illumination, if you will, of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Each day has its own koach. Remember we began by quoting Rav Soloveitchik, who says, time is endowed with Kedusha. It's not just empty space or empty time that I have to fill. The time is a koach, says the Rav. I can withdraw that koach. So during Sefirah Sa'omer, I can withdraw the power, the koach, the R of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that manifests through the Sefiros. I already told you, I'll say it again, I really do have a karas hatov for being invited to be part of this series, as I never delved into any of this before. But it's amazing things. Pesach commemorates Yetziat Mitzrayim. Right? Yetziat Mitzrayim. What does Mitzrayim mean? What do we call the Yetziat Mitzrayim means Exodus from Egypt. Mitzrayim also means, what do we call the 3 weeks in the summer? Bein HaMitzarim, between the straits, between Shivasar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, 17th of Tammuz and the fast of 9th of Av. We're during a period we call between the straits. Bein HaMitzarim. It's a hard time. Very hard time. It's the worst. Talking about days that have power. The days themselves are days of mourning. Mitzarim also means straits. So Yetziat Mitzrayim, we were in Mitzrayim, we were in this limitation. In Mitzrayim, there was only so much we could grow, and in fact, we sunk down, 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 down. With Yetzias Mitzrayim and the exodus from the limitations, we tap into the koch of marching towards Sinai. And how will we pick ourselves up from the straits of Mitzrayim? Is everyone with me? It's 2 ways to understand Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim means Egypt. We are in Egypt for 210 years. We were slaves for 116 years. We left Egypt. We marched towards our Sinai. Very nice. In Kabbalah, Mitzrayim means we were in the straits or the limitations. We couldn't grow so much there. We couldn't value our time. We were slaves. How much could you grow when you're oppressed and time is not your own? We left the straits or the limitations. We're marching towards Sinai by tapping into the kochos of these spheros that manifest during this time. As the only true freedom comes with Torah, as I'll tell us in Perkei Avos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Beis, very, very famous, Pasuk says, "V'haluchos masa Elokim hema." The luchos are the work of God. "V'amichtav michtav Elokim hema." The writing was the work of God, says Chazal. "Charus al haluchos." By the way, they're quoting a pasuk from Sefer Shmos, paragraph base, engraved on the luchos. But Chazal very, very famously pick up on the play of words. "Al tekri charus." Don't read it engraved. Ella. Cheirus or Cheirut. Einecha ben Chorin el Misha Oseg v'Talmud Torah. Don't read it engraved Luchos, but rather freedom that comes through the acceptance of the Luchos. So it is during this time that we leave the limitations of Egypt, that you have to access the koach of the Sfira of that day. So there are 10 Sfiros divided into two categories, intellect, Seichel, and emotion or midos. Okay? The categories of intellect are Chachma, Bina, and Das. We daven for those every day because the Kosh Baruch Hu is the source of all wisdom. Chachma, Bina, and Das are the intellect or the midos sichlios. And then the emotive spheros or midos spheros are Chesed, which can be translated as kindness, Gevura, which is translated as strength. Again, we're not supposed to translate these, right? I made that clear, but we have to. Tiferes is glory. Netzach, we're talking about that today. We already translated as endurance, victory, or eternity. Hod, glory. Yesod, foundation. And Malchus, okay? So those are the 7 channels of midos, or emotive spheros. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. Rav Kitov writes, Rav Eliyahu Kitov, in his Sefer HaTodah, writes, he talks about these 7 weeks of counting, right? Shava, Shabbosos, Tamimos, Tiana, we're counting 49 days, as a period in which we can rectify through each one of the 7 midos the deficiencies of this temporal world. Right? Should I repeat that? I don't know if I could repeat exactly the way I said it, but I'm going to repeat again. The masters of Kabbalah understand that during the 7-week count of Omer, using the 7 midos, the spheres of midos, which we said are Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchus, we can rectify the deficiencies found in this world and the deficiencies found within ourselves. These 7 attributes were planted or replanted into the world after the sin of Adam. What happened before Adam sinned? That we already spoke about the beginning of Perak Aleph of Bereishis. Perak Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayar Elokim Eskol She'asa V'hinei Tov Me'od. God saw everything that he created. The world was in a state of perfection. It was sinless. Now, yes, there was a man yet to do sin, but everything that God made was in its perfect form. Then man came, Kabbalah explained, and what happened? We messed things up a little bit. Hashem said this wasn't how it was supposed to be. Told you not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, you ate from the Eitz Hadas. So Kosh Baruch Hu replanted these 7 spheros into our world after the sin of Adam. And in every generation, says Kitov, in every time, whenever man chooses, he can come and cleave to the attributes, these 7 attributes, and they have eternal strength. So understanding that this journey through sphere allows us to grasp onto this spheros, emanations, illuminations, and rectify and repair the damage that was done by sin. The period of Omer is most auspicious, because when Israel left Egypt, they became God's portion, says Kitov, and a gate of purity was opened to them. They rose from the status of brick makers and straw gatherers, from people who served Paro to Mamlachas Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh. Could you imagine a more transformative experience than being slaves who don't own time to being free people? Einecha ben Chorin el Misha Osek b'Talmud Torah. We quoted that Mishnah before. Freedom comes with Torah. Each year, says Rav Kitov, when this period arrives, we are now journeying from Mitzrayim, from our own limitations, through the spheros, these emanations or illuminations, up to Har Sinai. And every year, he says, when this period of spheros to Omer arrives, the gate is open to us. Just like we left Egypt because the gate's open, so too the gate is open to us. The road is cleared for all those who want to assume the 7 attributes in their completion. So now he tells us which of our founding fathers, if you will, is equal to which of the spheros. Should I write it down or are you going to be with me?
Write it down.
The first one is Chesed. So who do you think corresponds to Chesed? It's not big enough. I don't know if this is going to work.
It's fine.
I'm not sure. It might take too long. I think it's going to take too long. Chesed equals Avram Avinu. He fed, he sustained everyone with great love. We're talking about the emotive spheros. Now, also, don't get confused. The spheros are emanations of who?
Hashem.
So why am I talking about me? Why am I talking about Avram Avinu? Avram Avinu is very great. He's the father of the Umma Yisraelis, but he's not Hashem. So why am I talking about ourselves? Because why?
He embodies what we can associate with the concept of...
Okay, so man's tafkid is to emulate the midos of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Gemara tells us, Pashut Masechta Sota 14a, the Gemara tells us that the Pasuk says, Hashem is an Ish Achla, he's a consuming fire. And yet you have a mitzvah in the book of Devarim, Lalachas, the Halach, the Bidrachav, to go in his ways. So the Gemara says, V'chi Efshar Lola Adam Leilech Achar Shechina, is it possible for a man to go after the Shechina? I'm translating. Doesn't it say, God is a consuming fire. How close could you get to the sun? What's going to happen if you go close to the sun? Even a little bit close to the sun? You're going to burn. How could the Torah tell me? Goes in the ways of Hashem. I can't go in the ways of Hashem. Hashem is a consuming fire. I'm going to get burned. So the Gemara says, Leilech achar midos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very important for our learning. To go after the midos, to emulate the midos of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then the Gemara gives different examples. Hashem clothes the unclothed. Perigimla Bereshis. After the sin, you should clothe the unclothed. Hashem does Bikur Cholim. He appeared to Avram. You should do Bikur Cholim. Hashem does nichum avelim, kivur mesim. The Gemara gives other examples. Comforts the mourner, buries the dead, Moshe Rabbeinu. You should do those things. But the Gemara says, leileich achar midos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why should I be a person of chesed? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam is chesed ein sof. He emanates these attributes into the world. These days of sifiros ha'omer have a certain capability. Tap into the koach that emanates from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So now we answer our question. Why am I talking about myself? Why am I talking about Avraham Avinu? He's Avraham Avinu, but he's not the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because the Kosh Baruch Hu has this shefa, this flow, this emanation, these spheros into this world that allows us to tap into the kochos. It's clear? It's deep stuff. Whew! How are we doing?
Good.
Ein mayim ala Torah.
Good. So keep drinking.
Okay, so Avram Avinu is the personification of Chesed. Next attribute is Gevura. Yes. I'm not going to write everyone down, it's going to take me too long. Gevura is strength. When it comes to Gevura, we talk about the next one of the Avos, and that is Yitzchak. Yitzchak, through him, fear of God, Yirah Shamayim, was introduced to the world. Take your son, your only one, the one you love, and take him as a korban. Yitzchak was now 5 years old, and he still had to be maskim to the Akedah Yitzchak. 37, he was a man. Yitzchak represents, Parshas Balochscha says, the ashes of Yitzchak, Rashi says, are always before the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yitzchak represents Gevura. Gevura represents conquering yourself. Conquering yourself, strength, to do the will of God. So Avraham Avinu represents the chesed, or taps into the sphere of chesed. Gevura is Yitzchak. Yaakov is the personification of Tiferes. Tiferes is glory. Yaakov represents the lens of Torah. Yaakov Ishtam, Yoshev, Ohalim, everything he did was through the Tiferes, the glory of Torah. Rav Kitov points out something very interesting. There are people, listen to this quote, who seem righteous in nature, but are really corrupt. Yaakov Avinu, on the other hand, appeared devious. In fact, what does he say to his mother when his mother says you should take the brachos? He doesn't like this whole plan. And he says, V'hayiseh be'enav kimis ateya. I don't know, Ma, I'm going to be like a deceiver. Why like a deceiver? Because he was not a deceiver. Everything he did was through the lens of Torah. Yaakov Ishtam, Yoshev, Ohalam, Yaakov dwelled in the tents of Torah, and therefore he represents Tiferes, or glory. There are people who appear to be Yashar, straight, says Kitov, but are really corrupt. On the other hand, Yaakov Avinu appears questionable. He appears to be Kimis Ateya, like a deceiver, but absolutely everything he does is through Tiferes, through the glory of Torah. Moshe, what do you think Moshe is in the Sviros? Okay, so we have Chesed, One second. Can anyone even see this?
Yes.
Could you even see it?
Yes.
Okay, so Gevura was Yitzchak, Akeda. Tiferes is Yaakov, Torah. Chesed is Avraham Avinu. Everybody knows from the time they go to kindergarten. Avram is the Bechinas Chesed. Come to my house, have some water. Gevura is Yitzchak, that's Akeda. Yaakov is Torah. The Pasuk says he sat in the tent of Torah. So what do you think? Who represents Netzach? We said, I'm not going to tell you. First, let me see. We said Netzach is eternity, endurance, victory. What is the only thing that you can access in Olam Hazeh that's eternal? The only thing. What? So who is Netzach? Beautiful. You knew this before? You read Kito? I was joking. If Netzach, beautiful. If Netzach, could you even see?
Yes.
Some people, yes. Some people, no. I'm doing the best I can. If Netzach is eternity, endurance, or victory, there's only one thing in this world that's eternal, that you can, I should say, there's only one thing given to us that we can access in this world that it's eternal. Everything else comes and goes. No matter how attached we are to something, how much we like something, how good it makes us feel, how accomplished, there's only one thing. And what is that? Torah. So who is the personification of the sphera of Netzach? Moshe Rabbeinu, who the Ishtar, par excellence. Yes? I'm not going to be able to hear you.
She said she thought David HaMelech would be
Netzach. Oh, no. We're coming to David HaMelech. Not according to Rav Kitov, at least, okay? This is not my own. This is Rav Elio Kitov, Sefer HaTodah, and Sefer HaOmer. Aharon personified Hod.
That you translated as glory as well. There were two glories.
What?
That you translated as glory as well, because Tiferet is glory,
right.
And Hod is glory as well.
Okay, Hod. Rashi tells us, Vayetze Yaakov, when a tzaddik leaves the city, Pana Ziva, Pana Hoda, Pana Hadara. I said I can't really. It's very hard for me to translate these words. Hod is like splendor or glory. If you look at Rashi, panaziva, panahoda. So our scroll gives different translations of these words. But they're not really words that can be translated. They can be understood. Yes?
When you say Yaakov is Torah, when you say Moshe is Torah, what's the difference?
Very nice. That's an excellent question. Yaakov is Tiferes. And Moshe is Netzach. Okay, so maybe, that's an excellent question. Maybe we could say as follows. Very, very nice. It did not occur to me at all in my preparation. Very, very nice question. Moshe represents the Nitzchius. I'm gonna propose. Because he represents Torah, if you will, in the purest form. He was not involved in family life, Pasha. He wasn't allowed to be. Most people, it's a beautiful question. The question was, how could Yaakov be Torah and Moshe be Torah? But Yaakov is Tiferes, which is glory, and Moshe is Netzach, which is Torah. Netzach is eternity. Tiferes is glory. They both represent Torah. They both represent Torah through very different manifestation. Yaakov, the father of the Shiftei Kah, the Bechir Sheba Avos, teaches us how to fuse Torah with this world. How to be a husband of four wives. How to be a father of 13 children. How to deal with people when his daughter is abducted and violated, Rachman al-Litzan. How to work honestly for Lavan. He says, in Lavan Garti, Rashi says, Tariyag Mitzvah. There's your answer. In Lavan Garti, and Rashi says, on the Pasuk, Tariyag Mitzvah Shemarti. So if Salvechuk says, what? Chazal just want to find a trick. They just want to switch around the letters. Garti, Tariyag. So what's the pshat? He takes Torah and brings it down to the level of Tiferes, how to crown yourself with the beautiful question, how to crown yourself with the glory of Torah. Be a person involved in this world. Moshe represents an entirely different level of Torah. The Nitzchius of Torah, the eternality of Torah, is not dependent on any human condition. Moshe, in fact, represents this Nitzchius, because where did Moshe spend 120 days, one day per year of his life? From Vav Sivan, the evening, till Yom Kippur, where did he go? Up to Shemayim. Cool. The first period of 40 days was over this period of Sefer HaOmer. It's very interesting. He went up on Shavuos, tapping into those spheros, if you will. But it was a beautiful question. But I think we can answer that Yaakov teaches us how to be. It's a great question, but that, listen, that's even better. The definition of Yaakov as a man of Torah is Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalim. What is the Ohal? He's a simple man and dweller of tents. The beginning of Parshas Toldos, Perech Chaf Hei, and Bereishis. And Rashi says he sat in the tents of Shem Ve'Iver. But Ohal is also a metaphor for a person's
home,
more than home. Wife. When you look in the beginning of Parshas Mitzora, once he undergoes the purification process, he has to sit outside of his tent. Rashi says he's not allowed to yet be with his wife till purification process is complete. The Ohel represents the wife, so it's perfect. Ish Tam, he was a man of Tmimus of Torah. Yoshev, it's Geshmak, Yoshev Ohalim. He dwelled in the Gashmius of this world. He was with his wife. That's Tiferes. Can you embrace Torah and live with it in this world? Beautiful. Moshe represents Nitzchias. Is the answer clear?
Yes. Yes.
Lisa, unbelievable answer. Great question. Moshe represents eternality or endurance because Torah is completely objective, irrelevant of human emotion, psyche, quarrel between the children. It's just Nitzchias. And how does Moshe represent that? What was his tafkid? To withdraw. What was the whole Lashon Hara of Miriam and Aaron? He's not allowed to be with his wife. Beautiful. It's a clear?
Yes.
It's beautiful. So yes, they're both Torah. But Moshe teaches us about the absolute emes of Torah. And Yaakov teaches us how to bring Torah down and be Yoshev Ohalim. Not only now we say the tents of Torah, but to be in your tent, to be with your family, to be with your wife. And in fact, we know he went from the tent of Rachel to the tent of Leah. Beautiful. I love it. Okay. Someone said something? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. That's why you don't learn yourself. Because when you learn yourself, so you look at the sources, you have some ha'aras. When you learn with people and there's give and take and there's questions and it leads to an answer, it's beautiful. Beautiful. Hey, beautiful. Bli Neder, I'll go home and add it to my notes. Very nice. Beautiful. Aharon, Hod, which again, it's glory, splendor. Please remember these words are not supposed to be English. Is Aaron, and Aaron is the midah of?
Shalom.
Okay? Shalom was the one who, how do you bring honor, hold, splendor down to this world? You make shalom between people. And the Medrash talks about how Aaron, it's beautiful, the Medrash talks about how Aaron would go to one and say, he's so sorry he did that to you. He's so sorry he did that to you. They would meet in the street. Avos Rabbi Nasan, Bartanur brings it down. They would meet in the street. And they would all hug and kiss because each one thought the other felt bad. So the way to bring the emanation of Hod down to this world is through the personification of Aaron. Hevei mi talmid of Sha'aron, be of the students of Aaron. Ohev shalom, love peace. Rodev shalom, chase peace. Ohev is sabrios, carve on the Torah. Love people, bring them close to Torah, and that's Hod. Okay? Okay. Yesod. Yesod is foundation, the foundation of all. So the foundation of all, you're going to say Amunah, and it's true. But the foundation of Amunah is to be a morally virtuous Jew. To believe that God's halachos somehow make me morally virtuous, even if I can't understand them. So who, says Rav Kitov, does Yesod represent? Yesod represents the righteous morality of
Yosef?
Yes. Beautiful. Oh, Hatzadik. Very good.
Only a few people are called Hatzadik.
And he writes moral virtue. How do we translate into Lashon HaKodesh? What do we call that? I'm going to say it's equal to Amunah. Because that was really the key to Yosef's personality. Because he believed in the Ribbono Shel Olam, where do we see this Yesod, the foundation he ran away from, Eishes Potiphar? It was so easy for him. He was a lag sold at the age of 17. So many times he had opportunity for sin, and he never did. always Shem Shemayim Shagur Befiv, says Rashi. He was always talking about the Ribono Shel Olam. And when Eishes Potiphar tries to seduce him, he says, how can I do this? And I will sin to Hashem. Yes, he saw the image of his father in the window. So Yosef is Yesod, the foundation of moral purity, which represents Armuna. And finally, you brought up David HaMelech. David Melech Yisrael represents Malchus, or sovereignty. Right? I don't know. Where should I write that? And that really equals, I'm going to add, that really equals Mashiach. So it's very beautiful if we say that equals, okay. Chesed is Avraham Avinu. We explained? Yes. Gevura, Yitzchak, Akeda. Yes? Tiferes, phenomenal. Yaakov, Ish, Tam, Yoshev, Ohalim. Yes, he's Torah, but it's in the Ohel of this world. Beautiful. Netzach, Moshe, Rabbeinu, his Torah was on a different level, if you will, than Yaakov Avinu, because his Torah was without contamination, I'm using that word carefully, from fellow Basar Vadam. Hod is Aharon, the greatest, glorious Ahava Shalom Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, to bring peace to people. Yosef, Yesod, foundation, Emunah. And finally, David HaMelech equals Malchus, and Malchus equals Melech HaMashiach. How many does have to do Shavuos? A lot. David HaMelech found it to Tehillim. It's his Yahrzeit. Whose story do we read on Shavuos? Rus. Rus is the grandmother, the great-grandmother. Who comes from her? David HaMelech Yisrael. So, I just thought something I didn't think of when I prepare, but it's tremendous. If we journey through Sfiras HaOmer, tapping into the kohos of Sfiros HaOmer, and you journey through all the qualities, you end with Malchus. And why is that perhaps the greatest of all qualities, David Melech Yisrael? Because it encapsulates all the other qualities. If we can somehow tap into the spheros of the Ribono Shel Olam to come out of Mitzrayim, Mitzarim, Egypt/limitations of spiritual growth, and find the Kedusha within each day, find the Netzach in today. Find the Yisod, the Amun in today. Find the Hod, the glory in today. How do I fuse Torah with Bein Adam Mechaveru? That's Yaakov Avinu. Kimis Atea. He may have looked like a deceiver, but he was never a deceiver. You can combine all the qualities by emulating the Ribono Shel Olam. We quoted the Gemara Maseches Sota. Then when you come to Shavuos, maybe, we will be worthy that who will come to redeem us? David Melech Yisrael, because his Malchus represents Mashiach. But only if we rectify or repair the limitations of Mitzrayim/Mitzarim will we be Zocha to the eternal end. Unbelievable. Fabulous. Does anyone have any questions or comments?
Yeah. Mashiach is when Mashiach comes, that we're davening for every single day, he's supposed to come on Shavuos.
Okay.
Is he supposed to come on Shavuos? Is that every Shavuos we've been given? Okay, so I'm confused. I just heard that. I want to know, is Mashiach supposed to come on Shavuos?
No. Oh. Benisan Nigal, Benisan Asidin the Gaal. Nisan is the month of Geula.
Okay.
It could be totally different Mamre and Chazal that I'm not aware of. I don't know. But perhaps that's why Shavuos is the Yom Tov of Torah. Because Hashem says, okay, if Mashiach doesn't come, which is the quality of David HaMelech, I give you a consolation prize. And the consolation prize is very, very big. It's the Nitzchius of Torah. Right? Okay. So if Moshe Rabbeinu, I need to see what time is. If Moshe Rabbeinu equals Torah, why am I putting this in a box? Because we're talking today about Netzach. So if you notice, when we finish our count, we get to the Yom Tovav, Torah. Okay? And that is the Nitzchius of Torah. It is the Nitzchius of Torah, I wrote in my notes, that enables us and empowers us to move up and on. So when you talk about Sfiras HaOmer, or now Sfiros HaOmer, you should never think of your count as a horizontal line. You know, if you think of the sidewalks, the, what are they called? The moving sidewalks in the airport. So you're moving, but you're still in the same plane. You're still in the same level. Think of the escalator in the airport. It takes you from one level to another. As we journey through the Sfiros Omer, tapping into each one of these kochos, as they manifest or emanate or illuminate from the Ribono Shel Olam, we're supposed to be moving up. And when you journey up, you finally get to Shavuos. What's Shavuos? Torah. What's Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu. What's Moshe Rabbeinu? Netzach. Because like you said, the only thing that's Nitzchias in this entire world is Torah. So Rav Elimelech Biderman brings down Rav Moshe of Kobrin, Hasidus Rabbi. Rav Moshe of Kobrin asked a very interesting question. Why is Shavuos called Shavuos? Shavuos means weeks. Shavuos should be called something to do with Torah. Pesach is called Pesach because Hashem skipped over our houses. Sukkos, we just had a precious ember, is called Sukkos because B'sukkos Hoshavti es B'nei Yisrael B'Yotzei Yisrael Mitzrayim. We dwelled in Sukkos when we booths, huts, clouds of glory, when we left Egypt, and therefore it's called Sukkos. Why is this one of the Shalosh Regalim called weeks? It has nothing, has seemingly nothing to do with the Yom Tov of Torah. So, Rav Elimelech Biderman answers in the name of Rav Moshe of Kovrin, and he answers very nicely. The answer is as follows. Shavuos is like a mirror. How so? Rav Moshe of Kovrin gives a mashal. A king hires four artists to paint, to decorate four walls in the palace. Three artists show up and they make beautiful decorations. The fourth artist does not come. At the end of 7 weeks, the king says, I'm coming to check your work. So the fourth artist comes very quickly. He puts up mirrors. You've heard this, Masha. Brilliant. He puts up mirrors. Someone else told it here?
No, I just think it's such a brilliant.
Someone else puts up mirrors. And who wins the prize? The guy with the mirrors, because it's so beautiful. It's like a kaleidoscope of artwork. It's not one dimensional like the other ones. It combines all the different artwork together. Shavuos is the mirror. What's it the mirror for? All your previous weeks. Which means, what happens when you look in the mirror? You only see what you put into yourself. Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah.
What's going to happen on Shavuos when the Shavuos, the mirror of the Yom Tov is put up? What are you going to see? Everything that happened, the reflection of those exactly. The reflection of the Avodas Hashem, says Rabbi Biderman, of those weeks. What you put in is what's going to be reflected. What you did not put in is not going to be reflected. So if I wake up in the morning and I brush my hair and I put on my makeup and I put on a nice outfit, then when I look in the mirror, hopefully I'll look put together. And if I wake up in the morning and I leave my hair like I just came out of bed, obviously I'm personally not talking about my real hair, but I don't bother to take care of myself. And I don't, I leave, go out in the same pajamas that I slept in. So what am I going to look like? I'm going to look like a schmata if I go out with my pajamas and my bed hair. What you put in is what reflects. Shavuos is called Shavuos, says Rav Biderman, because the Yom Tov depends on what you put in to those 7 weeks. It is not a Yom Tov in isolation. Did you leave the Mitzarim of Mitzrayim and travel through Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchus? Then your mirror is going to be tremendous. It's going to be such a kaleidoscope of extremely beautiful art. You're going to come before the Baal Shel Olam and put up your mirror. It's going to be beautiful. It has particular relevance to Jewish women because we made the kiyar. The kiyar was the wash station. The wash station was made with our mirror. So it's not only some mashal, but it should have strength to us. What you put in is what you're going to see in the mirror. So Rabbi Biderman says, quoting of Moshe of Kovrin, that's why Shavuos is called weeks. It's a reflection of the 7 weeks as we journey through the Sfiros HaOmer. Are we tapping into the koach of each one of these spheres? Where does the time go? Furthermore, Rabbi Biderman says, how we start with time, but I'm not making a joke. Furthermore, a couple more minutes, Rabbi Biderman says, I'm okay? Baruch Hashem. Furthermore, Rabbi Biderman says, the Aruch HaShulchan shows how much you grew during Sfiros HaOmer. But again, you only grow with how much. Think of a plant you can put in the ground. My daughter is so cute. She was in Costco yesterday with my husband. She brought him one little zinnia flower in a little pot. She put it on the porch. It's so pretty. But what's going to happen if you don't take care of it? It's going to die. What happens if you want to see growth? You have to water. You have to make sure there's no bugs. Take out the weeds. Does it have sun? Does it have shade? How much do we grow during Shavuos? So Rabbi Nachman points out, you see it in the Karbanos. We began by saying the carbon that precedes Sfiras HaOmer is Omer, which is barley. Barley is animal fodder. We end with the Mincha Chadasha LaHashem. The Mincha Chadasha is wheat. Wheat is people food. Think of the challah you put on your... Today, Nebuch, what would they say about us in gluten-free? But keep in mind, they brought this Mincha Chadasha. It was gluten. It was wheat. It represented people food. So Rabbi Nachman says, how much did we grow through the Sfiros? Did you tap into Chesed, Vur, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yisod, and Malchus, which I can't really translate even though we're trying? How do you know? Because you started with Omer. Karban Omer is barley. And 7 weeks later, you end with Mincha Chadasha. And what's a Mincha Chadasha? We, by the way, no, Mincha Chadasha, you make yourself new. What's new? The offering's new, and the human being, the person, has to be new. A lot more beautiful Nakuda that Rabbi Nachman brings down. Could I erase this, because I have to write something else? You got this?
Yeah.
Okay. I hope so. One more ha'ara we're going to end with. So Rabbi Nachman brings down something beautiful. He quotes the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. We're talking about Usfartam Lachem. Svartam, Sfira, Sfiros, right? The counting occurs when you tap into the koch of the Sfiros. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, Usfartam Lachem can also be translated as turn yourself into sapphire. Sanpirion, Svartam, Sanpirion. Sanpirion was sapphire. Usfartam lachem, make yourself into sapphire. Because, says Rabbi Nachman, every Jew is a precious stone. And by counting through Sfiros HaOmer, your essence shines. You know why that's such a geschmack line? Because whose light is shining through us if we count through the Sfiros? Ayomer Alokim, Yehi Art. It's the illumination of the Ribbono Shel Olam that causes the sapphire within to shine. Chazal tell us that luchos were made with sapphire. Sanpirion. This is the meaning, says the Aruch Chaim. Usfartam lachem. Make yourself into the sapphire of what? The sapphire of Torah. So now we have a math equation. I'm going to write on the board. Look at my notes. Even though math is not my forte. We're talking about Netzach. We're talking about all the spheres, but primarily Netzach. Here we go. If Netzach is Torah. We established that already? Just let's finish this up. Netzach is Torah. So we have A equals B. Good? Netzach is Moshe Rabbeinu is Torah. And if Torah equals sapphire, luchos, if Netzach is Torah, we already established that before with some added beautiful ha'aros, then A equals B. Next part of the equation, Torah equals the luchos, correct? We got the luchos on Shavuos. Luchos are made of sanpirion, sapphire, usfartam lachem. Then, how does it go? If A equals B and B equals C, then, ladies? A equals C. So what equals what on this equation? What's A equals C?
Luchos are eternal.
Then A equals C, which means?
Luchos are eternal.
Netzach is equal to? Eternal. The sanpirion of the luchos, the sapphire of the luchos. The eternity of every Jew is rooted in the sapphire within. And what allows the sapphire to shine? The light of Torah and the eternity of Torah and the victory and the endurance of Torah. And whose light are we really emanating? The light of the Ribbono Shel Olam, because we come back to the first thing that was created when the Sfiros emanated. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, Vayehi Or Vayar Elokim Esar Ki Tov. When we allow ourselves to emulate Leilech Achar Migdos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you allow yourself to emanate, to follow, to emulate the ways of the Ribbono Shel Olam, to tap into the holiness of today. Salvechuk says, time and space are not empty. The Ummah Sa'olam think it's empty. To the Jew, it has Kedusha intrinsic in the day. So tap into the Koch. The only thing that's Nitzchius in this world is Torah. So I just want to end with one mamish, one verb by Rav Moshe Feinstein Zasal. Let me just find it. One great quote, one paragraph long. People do many things, says the God of Hadar of Moshe, Zecha Tzadik Levracha. And it's a beautiful entar shir. People do many things in life for which they have charata. Charata means regret. A person may start a business or some other venture, and the day may come when he regrets ever having undertaken this project. He may enter a partnership that turns sour. He will regret the day he agreed to it. That's just how life is. But there's one thing, says Rav Moshe, no one ever regrets. I guarantee you, no one ever learns a block Gemara, a Perek Mishnayos, a Pasuk in Chumash, and wakes up the next day and tells himself, gee, I'm sorry I did that. Never. Because Netzach is Moshe, is Torah. Torah is the snam period of the Luchos. Every person has a command, Usfartem Lachan, take the koach of the Nitzchius, the emanation, the illumination, the eternity, victory, endurance of Torah, and let your essence shine. And with that, you'll be zocha to bring the mincha chadasha la Hashem. We should be zocha to tap into the kochos of all the spheres so we may merit the malchus of Mashiach ben David. Should be immediate in our days. Amen v'amen. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions? You have questions? Cool stuff. Yes, you have a question?
Yes.
You want to turn it off?